Good morning to everybody. Certainly good to be with you here this morning at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And we trust that all have gathered here for no other purpose but to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his great salvation that he brought to us by his grace. Turn to a portion of scripture here that's, if it's not, it should be familiar to all of us. It's a prophecy in the book of Isaiah. And you may remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who went to Jerusalem to worship. And he didn't know anything about Jesus. But he had Jesus in his heart. And he went to Jerusalem to worship God. And while he was in Jerusalem to worship, somehow he got a hold of a printout of the book of Isaiah. And on his way back to Ethiopia, where he was from, he was sitting in his chariot reading from Isaiah. And the Lord spoke to Philip, an apostle, and sent Philip down to where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. And the eunuch was reading, and Philip asked him when he got to the place where he was, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man guide me?" And then he asked him a question. He was reading from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, which is where I want to take my text this morning. But he was reading from that 53rd chapter, and he said, is the prophet Isaiah here talking about himself or some other? And I like this. God said, and Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Here was a man that didn't need regeneration. Here was a man who loved God. Here was a man who had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Yet he needed the gospel message of Jesus. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about Jesus. It's sort of like, I remember when my kids were small, like these kids over here, we'd go to church and we'd be going home. I'd check them to see if they were listening to what the preacher preached. And I said, "Boys, can y'all tell me what the preacher preached about this morning?" They'd always say, "He preached about Jesus." Well, that's good enough. Because if he didn't mention Jesus, he didn't do much preaching. Isaiah chapter 53. We'll begin at verse 10 and we'll read down to our text. And it says in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Now, you know, of all the scriptures that I ever read, that one ripped my heart out, brother Will. "It pleased the Lord to bruise me." Now, that, I have trouble understanding, except from this perspective. God loved you, his elect children, so much. And the only way for him to redeem you from your sins was to bruise his only begotten son. And he loved you that much that it pleased him to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Then verse 12, which will be my text. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. He was numbered with transgressors. Jesus was crucified between two common thieves, transgressors of the law. In his death, he was numbered there with transgressors. On the tree of the cross, it says here that he bare the sin of many. Now, you know, if the religious world of today was right, that scripture should say he bare the sins of everyone or all, but he didn't. He bore the sins of many. How many? An innumerable host of God's children that he chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world began. It's more than you can number. It's more than I can number. Don't try to number them. God knows every one of them. And Jesus on the cross bare the sins of every single one of them. And because of what Jesus did, and Jesus did alone, each and every one of them will be with him in heaven and immortal glory eternally. Amen. He made intercession for transgressors. And even after he came down off the cross and went to the tomb and rose again, spent some time with his apostles and his disciples, went out to Bethany and ascended up into a cloud, went up and right this very moment, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. What a Savior. Jesus, our Lord. What I want to center my thoughts on this morning is that part of this text that says, he hath poured out his soul unto death. You know, when Jesus came to this earth and was born, he was not born like you and I. He was not born of the seed of man. He was born of the seed of God. Therefore, his blood didn't have sin like our blood has sin. We all inherit sin from our Father. And we're all sinners by nature. But Jesus was not a sinner by nature. He was perfect because he was of the seed of God himself. And Jesus, when he was here in that condition, there was no cause of death in him. It was sin that brought death unto men, the sons of men. But Jesus had no sin. How is he going to die? Well, if he hadn't given his life for you and me on the tree of the cross, he wouldn't have died. He had to lay down his life in death for you and me. They couldn't take his life. There was no reason for death in him. He laid down his life, and he did it by dying. As this scripture said, he had poured out his soul unto death. Christ died to redeem. On the tree of the cross, he made this statement. He said, "It is finished." Well, I believe he knew what he was talking about. I believe he finished the work that God the Father sent him in to do. What was that finished work? Redemption. He finished the work of redemption for every last one of the elect family of God. Jesus died to redeem. He poured out his soul unto death. Now we want to take a look at some scriptures that speak of the death of Jesus to redeem, and they're very critical and important to us. We'll turn over to the Gospel of John, where we'll read this. Verse 11 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Yes, Jesus died to redeem. And on the tree of the cross, he gave his life to redeem who? The sheep. Who are the sheep? The sheep are those that God the Father elected and chose in a covenant of grace before the world was. The elect family of God. That's God's sheep. And Jesus said here, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Then he goes on and he says, "And he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." And then in verse 14 he says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Jesus knows his sheep, and he is known of every one of them, because he's taken up his abode in the heart of every one of them when they're regenerated and given eternal life. And they know him. They may not know him in the mind, but they know him in their heart. And he is the good shepherd. And the reason he expressed this about a shepherd who is a shepherd over sheep, but he's just been hired by whoever owns the sheep to keep the sheep. And then the wolf comes and he gets afraid for his own self, and he'll abandon the sheep because they're not his. He's got no interest in them because they're not his. He's only interested in what he's paid to stand there and shepherd over them. So if he's just a hireling, he'll leave. But if he owns the sheep, then he'll do what's necessary, even at the at the fear of the wolf coming to protect them. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus owns the sheep. He owns them. Why? Because God the Father gave them to him when he chose them and elected them. He gave them to Jesus. Jesus owns the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I giveth my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Yes, Jesus came to redeem. Turning over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It says here in a few scriptures that in Jesus' death on the cross, that he was glorified. They had been gathered here, and some had questioned, and Philip and Andrew heard some question, someone in the congregation or in the crowd that was there today said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So when they inquired, wanting to see Jesus, Philip came and he told Andrew, and this is all in 21 and 22 of the 12th chapter of the book of John. And Philip cometh and he told Andrew, and Andrew again he went and Philip to tell Jesus. And then Jesus answered them this, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." What did he mean? The hour has come when Jesus must die to redeem his people. And he gave this illustration. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now I want you to think about that, what he said there. He called that a corn of wheat. We'll say that's a little seed of wheat. You got one little seed and you plant it in the ground. What happens? Up sprouts a stalk of wheat. And as it grows, it produces a lot of wheat. Much wheat. Much more than the one little corn of wheat that was planted in the ground. But what happened to that one little corn of wheat that was planted in the ground? It died. It died, and from it brought forth life to many seeds. That's what Jesus did for us when he died for us on the cross. He died to redeem us. The one death of Jesus gave eternal life to an innumerable host of people that God the Father had elected out of Adam's race and given to the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about. And in his death, he was glorified. We'll find a place over here in the book of Romans that tells us who Jesus died for. Well, you know, according to the religious world, Jesus died for those who exemplify some godly principle. Well, they believe in Jesus. That's a godly thing. It's good to believe in Jesus. Believe me, the scripture is full. Me and Brother Will was talking, coming back from Tekoa yesterday, and he was talking about every single chapter in the Gospel of John talks about belief in Jesus. Belief is important. But let me tell you this, belief comes from one that already has been born again. Belief does not produce regeneration. Regeneration produces belief. And until you get the horse out in front of the cart, it won't work. It just won't work. But Jesus talks about who he died to redeem here in the book of Romans. Let us read it here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. Not those that produce some godly thing to make himself worthy of eternal life. No, he died for you when there was no cause in you for him to die for you. He died because of the great love that God the Father had for you before the foundation of the world. And he gave you eternal life. And Christ went to the cross to redeem the ungodly. And all of God's elect children at one point in their existence were ungodly. Nothing about them that was godly. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to die. He came to redeem. That scripture tells us that. It's also critical to know this, and we'll see it here. When Jesus died and paid the price for the sins of all the elect family of God, he was taken down from that cross and placed in a tomb. It was very critical for all the elect family of God that he rose again. The resurrection was critical. Why? Because it shows positive, without any doubt in my mind, and it should produce positive without any doubt in your mind, that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to God the Father. It was sufficient for why he came here. Jesus came here to die, and in his death to redeem. The resurrection. It says in Romans chapter 15, we're beginning at verse 7. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. But whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Now the Lord is the Lord of his living children upon this earth. But when they die, he's still their Lord. He is the Lord even after they die. They go to be with him in heaven, awaiting the glorious day of the resurrection. But that says he rose again. That's critical. That's very important. The definition of the gospel is given to us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It talks about the gospel and what it is. Chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Yes, he died, he was buried, and he arose again. That's what the gospel is. It's a message of Jesus coming to die to redeem us from our sin. And he finished the work on Calvary's cross. He was taken down from that cross, placed in, buried in a borrowed tomb. He was there 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, he rose again, as I said, proving God's acceptance of his offering for the sins of the elect family of God. Yes, Jesus came to redeem. Going back to our text, in the book of Isaiah, 400 years before Jesus was ever even born in Bethlehem of Judea, the prophet Isaiah says, he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for transgressors. Yes, Jesus came to this earth for the sole and specific purpose to die to redeem God's people. And he finished that work. God bless you. Pray for Brother Will Martin as he comes to speak to you. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.